Coach's Office Sports Podcast coming at you Wednesday, November 17th, 2021, year of our Lord, 2021. Is this the 10th podcast, guys?
It is.
No, nine.
9 weeks, fellas. That's not bad.
I'm surprised you've lasted this long.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we're some pretty busy guys, too, right?
But there's someone who's been on there 9 straight weeks.
Ricky Fuego.
I know. Ever since Nolan gave me that name, I think I've shit the bed.
Well, yeah, I bet your parlay last weekend that didn't know.
No, yeah, definitely didn't, because he was.
Maybe that's your favorite.
No, it is.
Every time you said, "Oh, that's gonna be my, you know, NFL parlay," and I'm gonna take Nolan in college or vice versa.
It doesn't work out.
It does not work out.
Horrible.
So, of course. We've been doing the show for a while. We've kept the same kind of the same order of things and just the way we do it. I kind of like it. Most of the feedback we're getting is mostly negative from the guys in the office, but they can go fuck themselves. But I think we keep it the same. I mean, there is
one difference. Usually, I walk in here with about 6 pages worth of notes. I'm hands free today, baby.
Freestyling.
I'm going all off the top of the dome. I may not know what I'm talking about half the time, but I'm going to say some stuff and some things, and it might get a little weird.
It's going to be entertaining.
That was kind of the premise last week. You know, me and Rick did it by ourselves last week.
Which was great. It was a great podcast.
You guys, you know, prior engagements, totally understandable. Super busy week for us last week. It was the only time that more than one of us could do it, and we kind of leaned a little bit more towards that freestyle entertainment kind of vibe, although we still used our rundown sheet, right? But you know, I thought it went decent for what we did and what we had.
It was fantastic.
It was great, man. I enjoyed it.
You know who else was fantastic? Ohio State last week.
Ohio State is damn good.
They're really good, guys.
I told y'all ever since I lost Oregon, they've been quietly beating the shit out of everybody, and y'all just ignored me, I guess.
No, we heard you.
Most people,
but I think the point's proven now.
The point is that Ohio State's good?
Yeah. It's not quietly from us not paying attention. I think it's quiet because the media doesn't pay so much attention.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, there's so much attention on the SEC. Iowa was up there for a while. There's a lot of tension on them. A lot of tension on the Michigan State thing. But now, it's...
Well, they lost early on. And that's typically a killer for, being in the running for... But since then, they've really ramped it up. And they did. It was a loss to Oregon, who is 3 right now, who is an underdog to Utah, by the way, this weekend, which I'm still trying to figure out. But the one loss.
I think in the beginning, I probably thought that Oregon loss was going to be extremely detrimental because I didn't think Oregon was going to be that good. But
I didn't think they were going to be that highly ranked.
Oregon's pretty good.
Oregon's not bad. They're not bad. Of course, they're on the West Coast. It looks like the College Playoff Committee wants somebody from the North, 2 from the South, and then somebody from
and
the
Ohio
West
State.
Coast. And if they can get those 4, then they get the whole nation engrossed in it. Like,
stupid. Sorry. I didn't hear
you
say
said somebody from the North.
I didn't hear you say
you
somebody from the North.
And Ohio State.
You said, I don't know why, I thought you said the West.
No, and then like 2 from the South, or... which is obviously SEC. But
you say that, but when's the last team that came from the West? I mean, count Oklahoma.
It was Oregon.
Which was
a couple
about,
years ago, right? It's been a while.
USC hasn't been good in a while.
Yeah, so I think the committee, I don't know. I think the whole idea of having a release of the rankings is ludicrous. I think they do this shit on purpose to get us to talk. Because I don't think they have any kind of criteria, and at least it doesn't seem like it. Now it is setting up for Cincinnati to get in the playoff because you got 2 elimination games this weekend. Michigan, Ohio State, losers out. All right, and the winner, if it's Ohio State, has Michigan at the last game of the year in like 2 weeks, and then you got. Oregon, Utah was an elimination game for Oregon. They lose, they're out. Oregon wins, they're most likely going to get into the playoff. All right. The linchpin to Cincinnati is going to be Alabama. And I know we have our question, can 2-loss Alabama get in? Absolutely not, because I think they have a premium on being a conference champion. You're not going to be a conference champion. You're not going to get in.
But in the past, they've had non-conference champions.
Not only with two losses.
Well, that's true. You're right.
And there's going to be a one-loss conference champion probably somewhere down there because those top three teams in the Big 12 all have one loss. So depending on how that shakes out, if one of those guys wins out and wins the Big 12 championship, that'll be a one-loss Big 12 team. Now, I know the highest-ranked one's Baylor, and they're like 11. Or no, Oklahoma State's 9, right? Oklahoma State's 9. But, you know, there's a possibility of a bunch of things shaking out. There's teams up there that are still going to lose that are in the top 10. So, you know, in 4 weeks, we still have 4 more weeks of this. A lot of things can change.
Was it you today that shared that one that were like where Oklahoma was ranked? When the fourth,
4 weeks going
four
in,
4 weeks going
there's been,
after the
there's
college
been
football.
Two times that Oklahoma's been ranked 10 or lower and still made the college football
playoff. I remember saying there was like one where they were 12 and they ended up making the college football playoff.
Because they won.
Well, in Cincinnati, of course, going to the Big 12 next year. But it doesn't seem, I mean, of course, Oklahoma lost, so it doesn't really matter. But they weren't getting very much respect to the Big 12.
No.
You know, right now, Oklahoma State is ranked number 9.
Baylor's what, like 11?
Baylor's 11. Oklahoma fell to 13. So even Cincinnati being in the Big 12, I don't think they're sitting anywhere higher than number 5, if it's next year.
It is just another team that's in the Big 12. But if they're undefeated and in the Big 12, I think they're in the top 4.
Oklahoma was undefeated last week, and they were
Cincinnati's had a couple more convincing wins.
Yeah, I agree. Oklahoma's barely been getting by the skin of their teeth.
And I think, and this is what bothers me, because you got committee members. How many of them are ex-coaches, ex-whatever, that been part of the game? You got presidents of universities. You got, you know, athletic directors.
You have former players that aren't anything but on the committee.
Right. You know, and I want... It seems like they're judging teams based on how they look. And as coaches, we know just because you don't look good doesn't mean you're not good in some sense. So, for me, they use the quote-unquote eye test. Well, when you get in conference play, you got, you know, years of film on teams. The same coach. How long has Luke Riley been at Oklahoma now?
Bob Stoops stepped down. Shit, had it been 5 years ago?
5 years. So now you got 5 years of Luke Riley film, which didn't deviate too far from what Stoops did there.
No, a little more.
And so
RPO
now,
stuff,
so all these conference teams, it's tough to win a conference. So that's my biggest beef with that. I don't think, you know, the linchpin is going to be Alabama. If Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC title game, those two get in. If Ohio State runs the table, which I think they will, they'll get in. And if Oregon wins this week and they run the table, they'll get in. And I don't know if I would argue with that, to be honest.
There's a real possibility of nothing happening at the top, and there's a real possibility of a lot happening at the top. I think that it doesn't look wide open, but I think it kind of is.
It really is. I think it is. And, you know, I think we got some really good football next couple weeks coming up just to see the shuffling of how everything goes. But, and it's going to start this weekend. I don't think Ohio State's going to stumble against Michigan State. I do think Oregon could stumble against Utah.
I can see that happening.
And
at Utah?
Yeah, at Utah. So, we could see a shakeup there. And who knows, Cincinnati again might be crapping themselves and they may lose again because I think they play SMU this weekend. And that's going to be a pretty good game.
Who's Cincinnati does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would open the door for not, like, obviously not UTSA making the playoff, but UTSA for a New Year's 6 game?
No, there's no way. UTSA, there's no way they're going to get a major.
Don't crush our dreams, bro.
Cincinnati loses?
Bet your paycheck. Bet your paycheck.
If Cincinnati loses, they're not going to. Yeah, I'll bet my paycheck right now. That's how confident I am. If Cincinnati loses, they're not going to drop from 5 to 18. And UTSA, they beat the mighty UAB. I almost died. Blazers, because their football program got cut.
It was good.
And, you know,
they're not. Six gets one, one group of five?
You get one group of five.
And
it's the highest ranked group of five team. That's how it works.
So Cincinnati, if Cincinnati loses.
Has to really shit the bed the next, you know, 3 weeks, and I just don't see it happening.
They might have to lose two.
They might have to lose
two. Listen, guys, they have a shot. You get ready for UTSA versus BYU and some crap bowl in December, because that's what's going to happen. And it sucks, because I want to see UTSA play a Power 5 game. Because I want to see how good. And they beat Illinois. Illinois is garbage. And they beat, that's the only Power 5 team they beat. You know,
yeah.
But I want to see them play. I want to see them play Arizona State. You know, a group of Power 5 team that isn't top tier, but you know, it's kind of in the middle, and just kind of see where they're at with that.
Well, you'll see it next year when they probably beat Texas.
They are playing Texas. That's I heard that the other day, and I was like, whoa, like that could be bad for the University of Texas.
Which brings up to who's not good? Texas.
Texas.
How do you lose to Kansas?
I think they all checked out.
I think they checked out. They obviously, you know, a lot of times, I heard Sarkisian speak at the Texas High School Coaches Association. Seemed like a legitimate ball coach, right? I think I've said this before. And he was very much about imposing his culture the way he wanted to do it.
Does that culture include a stripper girlfriend with a monkey that bites kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
All right.
As long as it's not one of the players, I
guess. He's going to get recruits with that, man. I'm telling you, you think I'm joking. Some crazy shit's going on in Austin,
I go play special teams for that.
Well, the University of Miami, A-Rod's opened up his house to the University of Miami to host recruits. That's pretty badass. I wonder if J-Lo's going to be there. But
hope so.
I'm thinking maybe there's a lot of pushback. A lot of times he's trying to impose the Alabama way, which I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but it doesn't always fit with what kids nowadays, especially, you know? I mean, they're kids that don't, you know, they're laughing after a loss. Of course, the defensive line coach went off on them, dropping MFers and, you know, whatever else. Obviously very passionate, you know, and it's just something rotten in that locker room, but apparently it's not something that's new. Under Tom Herman, one of the biggest reasons is he was losing recruits because the players, when the players were coming to visit, high school players, the players from UT were telling them, don't come here.
Ooh.
And that really turned off a lot of people. Obviously, it cost him his job. So this is something that's been culturally happening. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And until you can change it, like you said, if he brings in his guys, the thing is I think he doesn't win next year, and then they're
going to panic.
They're going to panic and look for the next big thing, like they always do. Instead of, I mean, look at Matt, they ran Mac Brown out because he was outdated, you know, whatever recruiting. He's winning at North Carolina. Could North Carolina beat UT right now?
Probably.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, does he have, you know, because the thing is developing players. Right? If I'm a 4 or 5-star, maybe even a 3-star, am I going to UT?
Not right now.
Probably not. Because you got to look at the SEC, the Big Ten. Just look at draft day. Right?
Well, look at Ewers. From, was it Westlake? He was a UT commit.
South Lake Carroll.
South Lake Carroll.
One of them fucking lakes.
And yeah, one of those fucking lakes. And now he's at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You cannot lose the number one quarterback
in
your state when he's literally not that far away. You know, so as it goes with Sark, you got to give, I'm always the basis, you got to give a guy 4 years. You know, because by that third year, he's going to have most of those guys in there. You can see how those guys are going to develop and then make a decision. Now, it was a total disaster where, you know, Sark starts drinking again in the sidelines, then you might want to get rid of him. But I think he's going to do a good job. He's going to turn over that roster, and I think they're going to be in good shape in a couple of years if they're patient with them.
That's the key.
Yeah. Isn't Benson a big booster for Texas?
Cedric Benson?
No, Tom Benson.
Tom Benson.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big booster. Sounds an idiot like that doesn't get involved, which he does.
It was Red McCombs.
McCombs,
is the one that really stuck his nose in there with Charlie Strong.
Right.
Yeah.
I said Cedric Benson.
Cedric Benson. Cedric.
Oh. I said Tom Benson.
That's what I thought,
Tom Benson. Wow. I don't even know who the hell Tom Benson is.
My teacher in the fifth grade's name was Miss Benson.
Maybe she's a UT alumni.
Cedric's dead, dude.
Huh? Is he really?
Cedric Vincent is dead.
Wow. That's right. I forgot about that. R.I.P. If he was sitting next to me right now, I'd give him his flowers.
Alright, so do we have anything else you guys want to talk about?
God damn it, Oklahoma.
I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't want to make you sad.
So I have a couple of things to get off my chest about this. And if you don't mind, just give me a couple of seconds, couple minutes. I need to talk about this. So at a certain point, with as much talent as you have on a team, there's only a couple of reasons that you lose. Number one is lack of talent, which I don't think that they have. Look around the NFL. There's a bunch of OU guys on a bunch of rosters. They have talent. They consistently spit out talent. They have good football players on the team right now. So it can't be that. Number two is complacency. I have a really strong feeling that Oklahoma is fucking complacent, and it pisses me off. I think they're okay with losing one fucking game and winning the Big 12 and maybe getting in the playoff and getting their ass whipped or getting to a New Year's Six game and beating a Florida team that eight starters are sitting out because they're going to the NFL. They are complacent, and I'm sick of it. They don't play every week like their hair's on fire like they should. They don't get any respect because of the way that they play, because of this complacency. This losing one game a year every single year and getting to the playoffs and losing by 40 I'm fired up about it. And I really think it has to do with complacency. Now, if I'm wrong, you guys tell me I'm wrong and I'll stop. But I really think that is the biggest part of Oklahoma getting their ass
kicked, brother.
And it's fucking complacency.
Who gives a fuck about it? Let's be realistic here. The Big 12 doesn't get any respect because that's the best team in the Big 12. And just like you said, like, now part of it was they lost their quarterback and Spencer Rattler had to play again, and we know that's a disaster.
Did they lose him or did they bench him? I think they benched him.
I thought they benched him.
They benched him.
And that bench?
On top of all of it, at the game in Norman, they started a "We Want Spencer" chant.
Oh,
what the fuck, dude? 6 weeks ago, we were talking about the "We Want Caleb" chant, and now Caleb Williams goes out and plays not great, and they're starting a "We Want Spencer" chant? What the fuck? If you're in Norman and you're doing that shit in the stands, that's ridiculous. I fucking hate that so much. It fires me up. I'm pissed off about it. You do not cheer for your starting quarterback, no matter who it is, to get put on the bench. That is bullshit.
I think they're still going to lose one more before this season.
I don't see them making the Big 12 championship. No.
You know, I think they do.
Well, and that's why Baylor got... I'm sorry, cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Aranda kicked the field goal.
That's awesome, by the way.
Because, I don't know if you ever heard Aranda speak. Like, the guy's like a mad genius. Like,
yes.
Like, it was way over my level. Like, I think y'all were there. We watched him. I walked in for a little bit and saw him talking about defending zone read and shit. Like, I was like, oh, god dang. Like, you know, whole other level. But apparently they had somebody tell them, hey, we need as many points as we can get. The third
tiebreaker is point differential. And he's like, you know, I believe when he says it was point differential too.
Yeah.
But I also think he just wanted to stick a knife in and you know, saying, you know what, we're not going to get bullied here.
But if they end up with Oklahoma ends up with two losses, they end up with two losses, then I think they would have the tiebreaker, well, because they won, or if anybody else ends up with two. So there's very much a possibility that Baylor ends up in the Big 12 championship.
It's looking like if Oklahoma loses to Oklahoma State, it's going to be Oklahoma State and Baylor. If Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State, then we'll probably have a Baylor-Oklahoma rematch because I think that Baylor and Oklahoma State have already played, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Oklahoma State beat Baylor. Gave Baylor's only loss.
Right. So they have to beat Oklahoma State, and then I guess it comes down to points.
But Baylor has two losses.
They have to stomp out Oklahoma State probably in order to get in, which I don't know if it's going to happen, but I do know that I'm sick of the complacency, and Lincoln Riley needs to do something because I think everybody, not just me, every Oklahoma fan is sick of the complacency.
Well, you know, Lincoln Riley is probably going to be in the NFL next year because...
People have been saying that for 3 years.
Well, I tell you what, if...
The other theory that I got to, because I said three and I only got to two, my buddy kind of put this in my ear, and I didn't really think about it. He was like, man, Lincoln Riley had to have taken that LSU job and just not said anything to anybody yet. And I never thought about that, but is that a possibility?
Jimbo's
definitely not going, according
Jimbo's not going. And listen.
Would you leave Oklahoma to go to LSU if you're making $5 million a year?
No, because you're already going to the...
It's a lateral move.
I think the lateral move. I think his next step is, especially Kingsbury keeps winning with Arizona, and Kingsbury had a below 500 record at Texas Tech, and this motherfucker has an NFL job and is in the running for Coach of the Year. And people are going to look at that and be like, well, if Cliff could do it, then I bet you Lincoln could do it.
Lincoln Riley was on the table. He was on the table for that Arizona job, and he didn't want it. He was also being looked at by Dallas there for a little bit, because I think Dallas wanted to bring Lincoln Riley in to coach before they got McCarthy.
You know what? I'll take him, because, you know, in our next segment, when I talk about my good, bad, and ugly, I want Nagy fired, and I would take Lincoln Riley in a heartbeat. You know why? Because he's not Matt Nagy. All right, fellas.
I'm sorry.
Fucking Smith doesn't let me do my job over here.
I tried to shit on you for the music and you had it queued up.
I don't know what kind of shit show operation we got going on here, but I like it. All right, so talking the NFL, and what you think you know in the NFL, you don't know.
I love it.
We talked about it last week, too. Last week, week 9, was fucking awful. Weird. This week wasn't weird. It kind of seemed like we got back on track, but...
How did you get on track? Washington beat Tampa Bay. Baltimore loses Miami. That's not on track.
It is on track because this year has been fucking wonky. And that's how we got back on track.
That's a word I haven't heard in forever.
That's the SAT
level. Wonky. I was thinking today or yesterday as I was working hard at my job, have we seen this much parity? I mean, can you honestly say... This team right here is going to go to the Super Bowl. This team right here. Every time you think that, something happens.
I think it's the teams in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the teams in the middle right now, right, which there's a lot of them, right, sitting at 5-4, the 6-3s, right, that are someone out of that middle group is going to push, whether because of injuries or because finally putting it together. Getting people back, right? But I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome because you can watch a game now and you don't know. I quit betting on the NFL 3 weeks ago because there's no way to predict.
I probably should have stopped betting.
I probably should have stopped betting. I'm not going to stop betting because...
That's what we do, Nolan.
That's what we do. And I do me. And you should do you. Well, but yeah, there's a lot of parity. I mean, I look at the NFC.
When was the last time that we saw this much craziness in the NFL?
That's what I think of that.
As far as I can remember, I don't remember seeing this much craziness
ever. I've seen some good playoff races with that lower tier, and now that you get that seventh team in there, you're going to get that good race. But, like, I look at the top seeds. Who's going to get the top seed of the AFC? 3 weeks ago, we were talking... Cincinnati and
Buffalo.
Cincinnati and Raiders were the top two seeds.
Cincinnati and Raiders. Oh, so you might think I'm crazy.
Yeah, you're fucking crazy.
The New England fucking Patriots.
And that's
I don't think that's a crazy pick.
I don't think that's crazy too. And I'll get into a little bit.
Mad genius.
Solid defense. Mac Jones is figuring it out. They found a running back. They're gonna win a lot of games.
I think they are too, and I wouldn't be surprised if I was into betting futures. I'm not because I don't like to tie up my money that long. I would take a flyer on the Patriots to win that division, just because you cannot trust Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo should have lost to Miami, and they got a couple crazy touchdowns at the end.
They did lose to the Jaguars,
and they lost to the Jaguars. So Buffalo doesn't exactly excite me.
Well, they both have 6 wins.
That's where it goes into that parody, man, because I'm pretty sure I sat here a couple weeks ago and said that the Buffalo Bills were my guarantee, and then they go lose the fucking Jacksonville.
The Colts have now won, 3 in a row? Yes. You know, even Carson Wentz trying his hardest to lose it for him.
I think actually this week in our pick'ems, I was one of the few to pick Minnesota to beat the Chargers.
You were fucking A, baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. And those Chargers, same Chargers, cost me a parlay. So, I mean, you just don't know.
Didn't I shit on Nolan's pick for the Chargers to beat Minnesota last week?
Yes, you did.
And I told you I was going to shit on
it. Did I pick Minnesota?
No, but you told me that you didn't like that pick, though.
No, you did. You did. And at the end of the day, I lost. But I also won for the weekend.
That might have been favoritism on my part, but...
And sometimes you gotta do that. Sometimes you gotta do that. But I'm gonna roll into my good, bad, and ugly, and see what you guys think. My good is the Patriots. You know, Belichick is the dude, and we talk about Brady being the GOAT. Belichick has got to be the GOAT of NFL football because he has taken. Last year, everyone's like, "Oh, without Brady, they're down." But you know how many injuries they had last year on defense?
Didn't they have a winning record? Or they were pretty close. Were they 7-9?
They weren't that far off. So you know, they got their shit together. They got healthy on defense.
Got rid of Cam.
They got rid of Cam. You know, I love Cam, but he just wasn't working for him.
I'm back.
And wow, that was a crack. Wow, puberty healing. You know, but now they're going to make the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the AFC Championship game. So my good for the Patriots. I like it.
What if we're the curse?
The season is
every
America.
Time we say somebody's good, they shit the bed.
Oh damn, that could be it.
If New England loses this week, Nolan,
it's on you. I'm going to start shitting. I'm going to start praising everybody that Minnesota plays from here on out. If this happens.
So, that gives my ugly... No, my bad. You know what's bad? You had a full week to fire Matt Nagy, and you did it! Come on, McCaskey. Get on the ball. Get rid of Pace, too, where you're at, because obviously you don't know how to do talent. You traded your whole future away for Trubisky, which, how'd that work out? You traded for Mac. We got 1.5 good years out of him, but now you don't have any cap space. We still can't protect the quarterback. Nagy thinks he's got, I don't know if you've ever seen it, he's got his little play call sheet, and on the back it says, be you. Well, being him means you're shitty at calling offense, running a team, so bitter.
That sounds more like an ugly than a bad, no?
Well, but my ugly is going to be the Denver Broncos, because they also cost me a parlay this weekend. And they're going in for a tying touchdown. 4th and 1. Give it to your dude, Melvin Gordon. Fumbles. Well, Philadelphia picks it up. Starts running back. Teddy covers. Teddy Bridgewater decides, I'm going to make a business decision here. And not tackle the dude that's right in front of him. Cost me some money. Upset me. I don't know what else to say. Smith, what do you got for me?
Well, you kind of just... shit on my good a second ago, but my good's Cam Newton, man. Cam Newton back with the Panthers, 2 touchdowns and a win. I don't know if he's going to end up playing more than he did because
they named him the starter.
Did they? He only played a handful of snaps, but rushing touchdown, plays, passing touchdown, two tubs and 7 plays. Like he needs to be in Carolina. He needs to retire a Panther.
Matt Rhule is a great freaking coach, and he's going to figure out a way.
He's a dude too, yeah.
Yeah, to use him.
And as old as Cam is and as beat up as he is, he's still got some juice left. We saw he ran for like 12 touchdowns for the Patriots last year.
Right.
Cam still got some juice, and he still has a fucking cannon.
Cam Newton,
that's my good, man.
I've never liked Cam ever since he threw himself on the floor in the Super Bowl.
I wanted a chance to recover that fumble.
Like, yeah, I agree.
I didn't like that play.
You're the MVP of the league.
I didn't like that play, but I love me some Cam Newton. My bad is anytime Sean McVay tries to beat the San Francisco 49ers, McVay goes into Seattle and can win. McVay can go to Tampa Bay and win. He is 3-6 against Kyle Shanahan. Like, if you're this next coming of anything, and you're supposed to be this fucking dude, how can you not beat the 49ers, who are not that good this year?
Well, they didn't play like they were not good. I mean, defensively, they looked pretty damn good.
You want
to
know why?
Sean McVay is supposed to be this offensive genius who can do everything he wants to do with the football.
Freaking Odell Beckham.
People like step up for some reason when it comes to fucking playing in primetime games.
Yeah. Like, and San Francisco did
that.
Proving
even
my point.
The Bears almost tried to win on Sunday night.
That's what I'm talking about.
Proving my point that Sean McVay is bad trying to beat the San Francisco 49ers. My ugly is fucking Mike White, dude. Like,
welcome back to the league, Joe Flacco. There we go.
This guy goes out, and I don't know where he said this. I don't know if it was on Twitter,
or an
interview or something, but this dude goes, oh, man, you know what? I should have been the first pick of the draft. And then fucking throws four interceptions. Like, you can't say some stuff like that, talking about you should be the first pick of a draft. He's been in the league for a while, so I'm not sure which draft class he came in. He might have came in with...
It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He might have
Cowboys,
in
the sixth round pick.
He might have came in that Baker draft class or that Kyler draft class or somewhere in that area. You can't sit here and tell me that you're better than Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or any of the guys that got drafted ahead of you and then no touchdowns and four interceptions. You can't do that. That's my ugly.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, Mike White. I remember when Mike White threw for the 400 yards, and then people had the audacity to say, well, maybe he should be the starter.
The coach from the Jets. Remember? He said that there was a quarterback controversy.
Yeah, it's like, come on,
not
guys.
Fucking anymore. There's not.
But, I don't know.
Martin, what do you got for us?
Well, we already kind of talked about it, but my good is the parity in the NFL. Like I said, the games are fun to watch. It's like they say, any given Sunday, it really seems to be what's happening this season. And like I said, you know, teams that we thought were out of it, all of a sudden now, I mean, even Carolina, you know, they put together a few wins. Teams like the Patriots, you know, it's a marathon of a season, right? And it's like, I think even Bill Belichick said it a few weeks ago where he's like, no, what are we worried about? Like, you know, he's got 12 games to play.
It's not decent.
Yeah, like, you know, he's like, well, I'm not worried about it, you know. And he obviously had a plan. They're trusting the system. You know, guys get better. Injuries happen. People come back. All those things. I mean, you know, look at how much moved around at the trade deadline, right? I mean, that should have shifted some things, right? You know, I think it's just great for the NFL. It's great to watch. You know what was not good to watch, and I'm putting my bad and my ugly together here. That freaking Detroit Pittsburgh game. Nobody wanted to watch that damn game. It's like seeing two toothless dogs getting a fight.
I had Detroit +6.5. I was rooting hard.
But the being a team wanted it.
Oh, no, they didn't.
That was the most horrific overtime I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I had left work already, and we went to go eat at Chili's, and that game was on, and I genuinely wanted to ask, can y'all change that?
Just turn that off.
It was bad.
God bless America, that was hard to watch, like, you know, and that's, you know, and that goes into the whole parody thing. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh... You know, Tomlin's a great coach. He might be one of those guys that goes back to the college, even though he's saying it might not happen. But
I think that Mike Tomlin might be one of, if not the best. Well, I mean, we talk about Bill Belichick, right? He's obviously no, the goat. Tomlin is in that top tier.
You give me a top five coaching. I have Tomlin that top five coach.
I agree. What is it? Since he's been the head coach at Cleveland, Cleveland. What
only
the
third coach in Pittsburgh. The history of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's never had a losing season since he's been there. That's insane.
Ben is old, man. And it's time, I think. If you ask me, definitely...
I don't think Mason Rudolph's the
answer. No, he's not the answer. You know, they drafted a pretty good running back. Najee Harris is playing his ass off. They don't have a very good offensive line.
Not a very good wide receiver core.
No, I can't think of a wide receiver on the team right now. Schuster's been hurt.
Deontay Johnson's pretty good.
Deontay Johnson's about the only one that's putting up anything. Yeah. You have Claypool every now and then.
Like, he's always hurt.
It's a rebuilding year, and it's hard to see. But that, I mean, God, Jared Goff is so shitty.
With your bad, though, I will take my hat off to Detroit, though, because
Well, they're fighting, man. And like,
if Dan Campbell said next to me, I'd give him flowers.
No, like their coach, you can tell his coach, their coach has a lot of Campbell. They have a lot of, he's got a lot of passion, obviously, right?
We can call him Campbell if
he's
want.
He's got a lot of Campbell, right? And he was a great player, right? And I think he's a pretty good coach. It's just, it's just fucking shittiest.
It's just Detroit.
It's Detroit. And they, you know, I mean, since Barry Sanders not wanting to be there, Calvin Johnson.
Did you see the sign someone had up, like, whenever, I forget where it was, they were doing their pregame stuff, whatever, and it was like, Detroit hires coaches who cry at their interviews or something.
Yeah, that was, that was
badass.
He's never going to live that down, man. Poor guy.
Yeah, that was so bad and ugly all wrapped into one there, is that Detroit-Pittsburgh game. Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Well, speaking of wrapping up, what do you got for us, Rick, to wrap up the segment?
For my good this week, I had Miami. Short turnaround, playing from Sunday to Thursday. Able to get a win against a very good Baltimore team. Not the best. I'm still not sold on Baltimore. But to get a big win like that was good on their end. I think they did a really good job of limiting Lamar Jackson on what he could and couldn't do. That defense looked like they were, you know, energized. I think Brian Flores is a great coach. And I think this year he's been kind of struck by the injury bug and Tua not being what everybody thought Tua was going to be. When that draft came out, I said, get Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
They didn't. They never go with Tua. And I think now they're starting to realize, like, ah, this guy's probably not it.
Well, there's a reason why Deshaun Watson was in trade talks with Miami. They don't trust him.
Yeah.
Well, and Flores is another, like, right now it seems like in the league it's kind of a trend right now. It's defensive guys that have great offensive coordinators. Like, if you're a defensive head coach, you go out and you get a stud offensive coordinator. And so a lot of the teams that are being successful right now are teams that have defensive-minded head coaches with good offensive coordinator. I think Flores is one of those guys.
He's going to get it going in Miami.
Yeah, he is. I think so, too.
You said the injury bug, and you hit the nail on the head, man. They've got some studs down there. They just have to get over that injury bug, man.
And here's the thing with the NFL. If you're going to be good in the NFL, you obviously got to be a good head coach. You got to understand how the system works, how to delegate your duties. But really, it's the GM and a capologist that really, because you got to identify talent. It's not like in college where you can watch dude, you know, they rank them a 5-star, 4-star, and you do them. I mean, if you're really good in high school, you're going to probably be really good in college. I mean, elite-wise. That doesn't work in the NFL. Tua, great college quarterback. Not so great in the pro game. I mean, I could go through
A long list of people.
So, but I agree. I think Flores, you know, I hope Miami, because I think the league is better when Miami is better. I think that, you know, just that, because they've been down for so long, I like to see new teams up there.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. My bad this week was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coming off a bye week, usually Tom Brady's pretty good.
Tampa Bay costs a certain person I know a lot of money.
Yes, it did.
Poor guy. Shouldn't have bet Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but I mean, it was bad, man. Tom Brady throwing 2 picks, like, in the first quarter. Washington just, they felt like they paid because they had nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah.
Like, everything's going bad for them. They lose Chase Young in the game. Tears his ACL. And they just, like, it was just like, they came together and were like, screw it, we have nothing to lose at this point. Let's just go out and do it. Which kind of, I guess, in a way, was my good was Heineke. Like, he didn't, like, usually you have some no-name like that, he's going to find a way to lose the game against, you know, Tom Brady.
He hasn't played bad.
Yeah, and he freaking lit them up.
Where did he go to college?
Heineke.
I know, but
he's a 1AA kid. I want to say it's Old Dominion or one of those teams.
Jesus.
Let me ask the fact checker here real quick.
All right.
We'll get that here at the end. But my ugly, I know where this guy went to freaking college. My ugly is the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield. That is ugly. He went to Oklahoma, by the way.
I know
Oklahoma.
I know that. I know he's your ugly man, but that dude has a torn labrum, man. Like,
who gives a shit? Then sit out.
He also has a vagina.
Man, you know.
Old Dominion. You're right.
I hate it. I keep going.
How are you? Okay, a week ago, OBJ's dad, whatever, posts all this stuff, whatever. Okay. You come out, they say they're going to release him, right? You go out and you light up a Cincinnati team that was freaking on fire, that people were really sold on, and you, I mean, completely fucking torched them. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, shit, Cleveland's for real, man. Like, Baker Mayfield's playing with a chip on his shoulder and everything. Then you come out this week and you shit the bed, like, the most dramatic way possible. Like, you don't just get beat. They beat the living shit out of you. It wasn't even close from the get-go. New England just had their way with them. Bill Belichick made fucking Baker Mayfield look like he was at freaking Austin Westlake again. Or better yet, Texas Tech.
He went to Lake Travis. By
the way. Who gives a shit?
This is your ugly, right, Rick?
This is, because it was fucking horrible.
My ugly.
It was horrible.
I was going to say Baker Mayfield. Can we make it? He's not that good. I'm sorry, Smith. Now, you're looking at me with the desk chair, but Baker Mayfield, they only let him throw the ball 20 times a game.
He has a torn fucking labrum!
Not in his throwing arm!
He's hurt! He's been banged up all year.
You know
who else do they have? Who's the backup quarterback?
Case Keenum is not that much different.
Yeah, Case Keenum,
like,
really
that's
not.
The bad thing about it.
And then, like, you can't even blame this on Nick Chubb. Like, Nick Chubb was out because of COVID or whatever.
They have the pieces to be a really good football team.
Dude, when you have all these guys, you freaking signed Njoku to a shitload. You have Austin Hooper, who I think you signed to a pretty good deal.
That was dumb.
Jarvis Landry.
Miles Garrett.
Yeah, Miles Garrett. And you're going to freaking allow 45 points to a goddamn rookie quarterback
seven? You just named five guys on offense. You're talking shit about the defense.
Well, I say you're going to score seven goddamn points? Are you kidding me? 7 points.
Baker Mayfield is hurt. He's hurt.
Well, then sit the fuck down.
He's hurt.
Then sit down.
He's a better option.
I hate it when mommy and daddy fight.
Than Case Keenum being healthy. He's still better than Case Keenum while he's hurt.
No, he's fucking not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
I know, man. You don't really lose much.
I like Case Keenum. He won games for me in Minnesota.
How many years is Baker Mayfield signed to?
This is the last year of his rookie deal.
I think you let him go.
I think you freaking franchise tag him and you will draft another damn quarterback, this draft's not going to have very many.
There's not very many of them. Smith's boy at Pitt is right now the number one.
No, God damn it, no. If you think that guy's going to be fucking great in the NFL,
I'm not saying he's going to be great. I'm saying right now he's projected to be the best one in the draft. Number 25 overall.
Like Kenny Pickett and Baker Mayfield, like I see no difference. Like it's the same person.
Is there any free agents out there? Because Cleveland Pickett is not that far away, man.
Neither can Baker Mayfield. He has a torn fucking labrum.
A turned labia, what?
The fact is
they got their fucking ass kicked. Okay. That's the fact. Four to five to seven.
It was bad. The flip side here, let's talk about a team that halfway through the season right now.
I don't want to talk about the fucking Dallas Cowboys.
At least the top five, man. And after a bad loss like that against Denver, which it just looked like they weren't ready to play, I don't know what the deal was. And every team, like it's a parody again, right?
Can we edit this out?
On any given day. But they come back and they freaking destroy freaking Atlanta.
They played well. Atlanta's really bad, but Dallas looked like they were sound all across the board.
Well, they're beating the teams that they're supposed to, right? Of course, they should have beat Denver, but I don't know what the deal. But it looked like they got it out of their system, and they went back to doing what they do. Tony Pollard, to me, looks better than I mean,
I don't think he looks better than Zeke right now, but I think he's a.
He looks more explosive.
They're a real good combo right
he's
now.
He's more versatile, maybe.
I think they're
really good combo right now. We did look, really it, up. We did look right it up, and they're about 50-50.
I think Tony Pollard's a little more versatile. I think, like, just you give him the ball in space, he maybe does more with it. But if you just straight hand the ball off, like, you're trying to get 1 yard, 2 yards, I would rather give the ball to Zeke than Tony Pollard.
Well, they keep throwing the damn ball on third and short.
They try to get cute. Like you had, like, first a goal from the goal line, like, from the one or something like that, and they try to do that little freaking...
But is it killing
the Zeke, and then try to give it to somebody else. Like, no, fucking run the ball. Just
run the damn ball.
And the next play, they give it to Zeke right up the middle. Right. Boom, scored. Almost untouched.
Even the game before Denver where they had to get that first down... They threw it to Zeke short.
He freaking broke two tackles.
Two tackles, yeah.
Sorry, Smith. That was against you.
But is it Kellen Moore or is it Dak? Because apparently Dak audibles out of plays or switches plays more than any other quarterback in the league right now.
Well, then you need to go and tell that dude, hey, if we call this play, especially at the grind, you're going to fucking run the ball. If not, you're going to sit your ass right here because we're going to put some lasers going to do what we
Dallas
say.
Dallas also, I think, I don't remember if it was like offensive efficiency or if it was points per game. But they lead the league in one of those two categories right now. And if Dak is making audibles and they're leading the league in one of those two categories, he's probably doing the right thing.
More times than not. You're not always going to make the right call. And I think more times than... But it just seems like on short yardage... I mean,
he's not Peyton Manning at the line checking things.
Although Peyton Manning did give him props.
Omaha. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not Peyton making audibles at the line, but, I mean, he's still kind of young. Peyton had to work his way up to that kind of... You know what I mean? Like... I think they're doing the right thing.
I think he's just doing the right thing. And defensively,
you were kind of almost comparing him going in that direction.
I literally just said he's not.
Wait,
they're gonna shit on you like the New England Patriots shitted on the Cleveland Browns this week.
I've had enough of that.
All right. Well, I've had enough of this Dallas talk, too, so fuck this. All right.
We don't beat your Cowboys.
Yeah.
Before
we move on, how do you spell miscellaneous?
It's fuck that.
Hey, Smith. Did you ever watch the movie Smokey and the Bandit?
Oh, dude, I love that movie.
That is a badass movie. You know what that reminds me of?
What is that?
My buddy at Bach Truck.
Oh, my man.
We have ourselves a herd problem here in Texas.
That's true.
I tell you what, when we need to move herd, I call Bach Trucking to get them out of there and move on.
They have all the equipment that you need if you need to move things and you don't have what you need to do to get that thing out of your life.
Load them up.
Load them up, get them out, because we don't need herd around here sometimes. So I call Bach Trucking. I get my buddy Joe Moore. Jump in that truck. Get that herd right out of here.
What about Juvers, man? What's Brian doing at this point?
Well, I'll tell you what. You call Brian Juvers up, he's going to set up your appointment, and he's going to get that herd right out of here. And I tell you what, boys, if you want to make some money driving out herd, call Bach Trucking. All right, well, let's go on to our next segment.
Sports Investment. We got a new intro this week to our Sports Investment. Here we go.
Hit it.
It's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker. It's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker.
All right, fellas. Right. Hey, good week last week for me. Not so much you. So we are officially going to remove the name Ricky Fire from the name.
Ever since Ricky Fire was given downhill from
me. I said that last week too. Like, you called him Ricky Fire and he immediately went like 1-2 and 0-3 in his
I think I started overthinking it. I started like doing all this research. Like, can't fuck this up right now.
All the hype goes to your head.
That's why this week I just went with my gut. Like, here it goes. This is what I'm going with.
Well, so maybe Ricky Fire comes back.
Maybe.
And you know what? The Ricky Fire in college football is at 11-5 clip. That's 69%. And anything above 56%, you're making that money.
69.
All right. So
don't sell yourself short, though, Nolan. You're actually at a solid 66%.
It was.
You know what? Today I'm going to throw my hat in too.
Guys. Oh my God! Jesus, here we go.
I expected.
We called up
the play. Play.
You know, and you're sitting at that you're sitting at that 66%, but that's with me counting your push as a loss. So what? If you count that push as a win, it's actually a little bit higher, but it's not quite 69%. So Ricky edges you out just a little bit in those percentages.
All right, I'd go with that. I do. So last week, won 2-1 with the lock of the week hitting with Ole Miss at plus 2.5. They won outright, so if you played some Lizzie money on that, money line, you won some extra cash.
You know what's crazy about that, Coach? Ever since you gave yourself the Ice King nickname, you've won 3 lock of the weeks in a row, sir.
That's right. Let's Ice King is hot. And
El Fuego.
El Fuego. So, without further ado, fucking Boston College. All right, I digress. All right, college football this week. I got 3 picks. One that includes the pick of the week. We're going to go with Nevada. Now, this is a, I think it's a Friday night game. At 1.5, let me double check to see when they're playing that game. I want to say it's Friday because if it's tomorrow, I want to make sure y'all get that.
I think anytime you're picking Nevada, you're kind of reaching a little bit.
You're not reaching. You know why? Because Nevada's hot. They got Carson Strong at quarterback. He likes to throw, check the ball around. Air Force pass defense not very good. Who? You're playing Air Force.
Gives a fuck.
All right.
God, that hurts.
That stunned a little bit right there. No, Air Force doesn't have very good pass defense. They're going in the mountains of Nevada. I think Nevada wins this one by 2 scores. 1.5. Air Force is a pretty good team, but I think Nevada's going to take this one. Big game in the Mountain West Conference. Number 2 pick, Boston College minus 2.5. I wrote off Boston College about 3 weeks ago. Took them against NC State, laid a huge egg. They're playing Florida State, which I think is just complete garbage. And you want to look at another FBS opening, I think that guy at Florida State is going to get canned at the end of the year.
How long has that guy been there?
Like 2 years, 3 years.
Ooh, since Jimbo left, isn't it?
Willie Taggart took over.
Oh, that's right.
And
Taggart didn't do shit in this guy's not.
Yeah, he fucking buried the program. So
Miami.
They did beat Miami. So I like Boston College at home. Minus 2.5. And then my lock of the week in the third game is Wisconsin minus 8.5. Wisconsin has silently, quietly put together a really good season. I like to shit on the Big Ten West, but Wisconsin's kind of legitimate. So, and Nebraska's not. They just had another 4-star recruit go in the portal this week. I just don't see them covering the 8.5, especially Wisconsin. Wisconsin's going to run down the throat. Adrian Martinez is going to do Adrian Martinez things, which means they're going to turn the ball over repeatedly and take Wisconsin minus 8.5. So, where are we going to go to next? We're going to go with the, not just the Rick.
Just the Ricks.
Just the Ricks.
Ricks picks.
No more fire until we get that money going. My first pick I have this week, they're all O's. They all start with some O's. So first one, we got Oklahoma State minus 10 at Texas Tech. Texas Tech, I think, is coming off a huge win this past week. Kicking a game-winning field. We're good. You got it? Because you can hear that the whole thing.
Fuck.
That's what I'm asking.
That's okay.
Oklahoma State minus 10 at Texas Tech. Texas Tech came off a huge win this past week. I think usually after a very big win comes a disappointing loss. And I think the spread at 10 right now is too low. I think Oklahoma State goes and blows Texas Tech out of the water. I
agree.
Still water. Right. But it's in Texas. It's at Lubbock. So, joke doesn't kind of make sense there. But my second pick, I told you guys I'm just going to start picking with my gut and not doing too much research on it. I got Oregon plus 3 at Utah. Okay. I had a feeling I was going to give me that thing. Here's my thing. I always tell you Oregon fucks up somewhere along the season, correct? I think they did that when they played Stanford, and I got it out of the way. I think they understand, look, we have a really bad loss on our record, a really terrible loss. and we still are at number three right now in the college football playoff rankings. I think they take care of business. I think they win this game outright. If I were you, I'm going to take the money line on this.
A little Lizzie.
I'm going to take the money line on it, and it's at Utah. It's a road game for them, but I think they understand what's at stake here. I really do. And I really truly believe that they are thinking right now, we have a terrible loss to Stanford, and they still have us at number three. So we're still in this conversation, and we can still do this if we just win out. And I don't think it's going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game. I could see Oregon kicking a game-winning field goal as time expires to get past Utah. But I do think they beat Utah. And my third pick this week for college football is Oregon State +3 at home against Arizona State.
You just don't come in Corvallis and win a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay? Oregon State's not playing terrible ball. Neither is Arizona State. Did they end up firing Herm Edwards?
No. What happened last week in this, let's go into the bad beat of the week. Arizona State was down 10. And came back to take a lead on Washington, a 10-point, 11-point lead on Washington with like 17 seconds to go. Then a couple fools get a celebration penalty, 15-yard penalty. Then I don't know what the DB was doing. He basically was verbally attacking an official. That's another 15-yard penalty. Gave Washington some life and scored with like 3 seconds to go cover the 5.5, which I know hurt your play because you had them last week at Arizona State 5.5. And then Washington proceeded to fire Lake. Again, we had a theme today, Lake. Well, the former coach of Washington, his last name was Lake. He is now on the unemployment line.
South Lake, West Lake, Lake.
Jeremy Lake.
Coach Lake. Fuck
him. Right. So, you know what? I'm buying into the Oregon talk.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
It's going to be a huge, more legs than a spider, 9 legs, all these teams with money line. Don't know what it is yet, but it will be working.
Did Rick just pick two Pac-12 games? That's kind of weird.
I did pick two Pac-12 games. And a Big 12.
That's even worse. One Big 12 and two Pac-10s, that's great. But, fellas, I will say, Coach Alvarez is back on the betting train. He wants in. He's got picks. What do you got?
Okay. Now, starting off with Utah, Oregon, you guys are saying Oregon. I'm saying Utah +3, right?
Utah's -3.
-3. Sorry, I'm taking the favorite.
I got nervous.
I'm not
as good as you guys, right? I don't
even know what the line is. I don't lose money and then like really hate myself at the end of the week. But this week I'm putting money on Utah to beat Oregon. I think they're going to do it. There's a reason that Utah is favored to the number 3 ranked team in the college football playoffs. I'm going with the odds makers on this because they're a lot smarter than I am. And I think they win it, right? Again, this is just off gut. The other one, UTSA. They haven't thrown me yet.
Shit.
Every time I've bet UTSA, I've won some money.
Homer!
So UTSA 4.5 over UAB on a huge game for them. And I'm taking them.
I will say this. UTSA has been like 3-point favorites, 2.5-point favorites a couple times.
4.5
gone in and beat people by 30.
Yeah.
Well, last week they were 21.5.
They were. And they barely won. It was a horrible game.
Against Southern Miss.
Horrible game, yes. But I think they put it back together like the coach says, don't eat the cheese, right? I think they ate the cheese and were feeling extremely good about themselves. Home game, it was packed, and I think they got a little ahead of themselves. I think they get back on track this week and they beat the shit out of UAB. My other pick is Houston over Memphis, right? Houston is playing some pretty good football right now, right? The West Virginia reject, Dana Holgorsen is doing a good job over there. He's got them playing some ball, and I'm taking them over Memphis.
He can keep his team winning, but he cannot keep his hair.
Not at all, and he wears a cap quite often now instead of a visor. But I digress. So my picks, Houston over Memphis, UTSA over UAB, And I'm going against the flow today, and I'm taking Utah over Oregon.
So that pretty solid picks all the way across. I'm digging most of them. That Utah-Oregon, man, I kind of see that being a coin toss. I would love to pick a side on that one, but I don't know, man.
I just hope I can stay late for the game.
It's really going to be late.
You really just don't know.
No one usually does, to be honest.
No. That's why they call it the Pac-12 after dark.
I know. The other night, Utah State played at like 9:30, and I told my boy, because he coaches there, that I would watch them, and I was out by 10:15. I tried to stay up for it. Couldn't do it. So that's our college football picks. We got some NFL picks for you, too. I want to start this one with Coach Alvarez, because he's looking
good. They're rolling the dice, baby.
He's fired up. He's back on the picks.
Rolling the dice.
Let's see the NFL picks go.
Rolling the dice. 7-11,
baby. Let's go.
All right, here we go. 7 even backdoor little joke. All right, of course I'm going to take the Cowboys, right? But that's given. Now, what I'd rather take, though, is the Cowboys in Kansas City in the over.
Ooh.
Right? Over, I think it's at 56. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be lots of points scored.
Look like Kansas City found their way again.
Kansas City has found their way again, I think. It's going to be a 32 game.
I can see
offensively, because defensively they still
suck. I can see a 38-35.
Yes,
game. Big scoring, so I'm taking the over on that. I'm also taking, I can't even read my head right, New England, 7.5 point favorite. And then I'm taking Carolina over Washington, 3.5 point favorites. I think that Carolina is going to figure out a way to use
Cam Newton.
My bad. And then they're going to win this one.
You go with these guys' picks, and he didn't even know what the fuck's going on right now.
Doesn't even know who the quarterback is.
Good
God.
Hey, man, I can be 50% or whatever you guys are, right? And at least now I'm opening myself up to get shit talked to.
I wish I was at 50%. That'd be nice.
So New England, 7.5. The Cowboys in Kansas City in the over. And Carolina at 3.5. Boom. Make yourself some money.
Rick, got some NFL stuff?
I do. My first pick is I'm going to agree with Alvarez on here. I am going Dallas plus 2.5 at Kansas City. Kansas City's offense looked legit again this past week. Started scoring some points. Looked back to the old Kansas City. Their defense, still awful. Still really awful. But this is some Cowboys team that I don't think we've seen in a very long time. They are moving the ball on people. They are scoring some points. Their defense seems to be good. Like, actually good. We're having to outscore everybody every single time. I like Dallas this week on the road. And this is where we're going to see if Dallas is for real or not. I said that early on in the season when Cowboys started off kind of hot. I said that, you know, that Week 11 game against Kansas City in Kansas City is going to be a determining factor is if the Cowboys can actually get over that hump. And I think this is this week they prove themselves. Mm-hmm. My second pick, I have the Las Vegas Raiders plus 1 at home against Cincinnati.
I'll tell you what, if the Raiders players would stop killing people or threatening to kill people, they might be a pretty good team.
They might. I think they had a really big letdown to Kansas City this past week. But Kansas City's a division game. That division always plays each other tough. I really could have seen that kind of going either way. If the Raiders would have done that to them, I would have been like, oh, it's a division game, whatever. I like the Raiders giving 1 on the road, which obviously means I think they're going to win. They could lose by 1 and you still win that, or not win, but you push.
All right.
But I think they're going to win that game just outright. They're still a good ball club, although they, you know, shit the bed this past week. I just hear Josh Jacobs now, and I think of Coach Ward dropping him on his fantasy team on accident. Sweet. Hopefully no one will notice. But I don't think that Derek Carr is playing bad right now. I think he's playing okay ball. Their defense is still shaky at times. What's his name? Edwards. that plays for them now. What's his name? That's been I think his name is Brian. Is it Brian Edwards or?
I think so.
Is that the one that they're throwing to quite often now?
I think so. Yeah.
He seems to be that guy over there, that big time playmaker that they would need it, obviously, because they don't have Ruggs no more.
Right.
But Hunter Renfrow is still being that, you know, Hunter Renfrow he was at Clemson. You know, seven catches a game, probably 60, 70 yards, maybe a touchdown here or there. Like, you know, I will take Vegas in my plus one this week. My last pick, I know Nolan's going to hate just because it's, you know, his boys over there. But I'm taking Baltimore minus
That's
4.5
pick.
At Chicago.
I hope they lose by 50 points and then Nagy gets fired at halftime.
The only reason I'm picking that, Baltimore had a really bad loss against Miami this past week. Now they're given a little bit longer of a week to prepare for the Chicago team. Chicago's coming off a bye. Now,
they didn't do nothing but play beer league softball.
And all I've said is after a bye, people tend to have a slow start. Maybe the Bears think they've been on a bye the whole season and they just haven't picked up that play yet. But Baltimore is going to Chicago. That doesn't bother me any, to be honest, at all. I think they go in there and I think they win this game by, you know, like, on a truth and honesty, somewhere between the 8 to 12 range.
I think
Baltimore.
I like it. And you know what?
And Nagy gets fired after
that. I hope that happens. Dear football gods, if you have any love for me, fire Matt Nagy, preferably before the game on Sunday.
Don't mind him.
Don't mind me. I'm just something. All right, well, my three NFL plays. I'm going with a trend that I've heard on the radio on my way to work a couple nights ago. This is hitting a 75% clip, which is astronomical.
That's guaranteed.
Probably guaranteed to go 0-3 because now the trend is going to go that way. However, I did go 2-1 last week, the NFL, creeping that percentage back up near 50%. But we're going to go with tomorrow night, the Falcons catching at 7.5. Versus the Patriots, and here's the trend. The team that did not cover the week before has covered against the team that did cover the week before. Last week, the Falcons, we know, lost by a jillion points.
That's a major research.
Said he heard it.
I heard it. My research is I listen. I use me ears.
Digging deep.
Okay.
Versus a team that did cover, the Patriots, which they dick stomp Baker Mayfield in his vagina.
I'm glad you said dick stomp.
Dick stomp. And so Falcons, tomorrow night, plus 7.5. Jets. Yes, I'm jumping on the Joe Flacco train.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
I'm also playing the you can suck it, Rex Ryan, because you talk shit about me. I don't know if you guys heard. Rex Ryan got on New York radio and basically shit on the I can't even say his last Slay, his last name for the Jets, saying
yeah, the head coach.
Head coach. Shit on him.
Talking about something like don't even
like Rex Ryan took it personal and the dude's like, I don't even know him. So yeah. Flacco's gonna fire out, gonna throw 125 yards, 2 touchdown passes.
He's gonna fire out.
Fire out for 125, baby.
And,
hell yeah.
And Miami's going to kick a field goal to win by 3, and I cover the 3.5. Then my last play again, team that, actually, this is not the team that didn't cover. Well, it depends where you got the line. I got the line good last week at 2.5. Saints covered against Tennessee last week, catching the 2. Maybe I'm just an idiot, and I probably am. Look at my record. The Eagles aren't good, and I refuse to believe they're a good team. I'm just not going to buy into it. I think the Saints with that defense with Trevor Siemian, it's going to come in, beat the Eagles, or cover the 2.
Trevor Siemian.
He did say Siemian, right?
I think his last name is Siemian. I think that's how it's pronounced. Siemian. Trevor Siemian.
You don't know.
I don't know, man. I know Philadelphia is not great, but I think they're pretty good.
I have Jalen Hurts of fantasy, and he's been excellent for
them. I like a little bit of Philadelphia, and you know
they ain't got no running back, coach.
Their quarterback is their running back. Another one of those.
Those are my three picks, and I only hope that we go 3-0.
All right, so I never make picks. Oh, I'm not a bettor. Oh, I don't make bets. Never have. And I'm not even going to bet this because I don't bet on football, because every time I've ever bet football in the past, I've lost. But I'm going to throw this out there just because I feel like I need some people to prove a point.
Talk your shit, Smith.
Okay.
You also know what you don't bet on? Herpes. That shit doesn't go away.
Bruh. That is true. Bruh. That is true. So what I'm going to say, Iowa State is coming into Norman on Saturday. Oklahoma's a 4-point favorite. They just got their ass handed to them. They are going to beat Iowa State by 20.
They don't even fucking know who their quarterback is.
They're going to beat Iowa State by 20. This is the only time I've ever felt strongly enough about a bet to talk about it on the show. Now, I'm probably going to lose this, okay, because that's just how it works. But I don't give a fuck who is coming on that Iowa State bus. They're going to roll into Norman, and Oklahoma is going to stomp down the Cyclones, I guarantee.
I bet you they... Oh.
Got him!
Bet you got him!
It's not very far from Ames to Norman.
They might drive. Probably gonna fly. I bet they drive. I'm pretty sure they are. I bet it's less than an eight-hour drive. Celebrating the win the other day.
No, what do you say this time?
He's like, well, I'm gonna get on the bus and drive 4 hours back to where's Mississippi State at?
In Mississippi.
Well,
he's like, if you Stark Vegas, baby.
Starkville, yeah. He's like, I'm going to drive back to Starkville. He's like, I'm probably going to eat like one of those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that are already made in the package. It's the most
delicious. Those just little Smuckers.
Yeah, he's like, I'm probably going to watch some film. On the
Hopefully,
way back.
They got grape because he's like, the strawberry ones
to Starkville. Have you ever been to Starkville? It's a great atmosphere. He's like, there's probably going to be people out and about because it's a great win. Like, I love Mike Leach.
I love him too.
He's a national treasure, man.
Alright, so that finishes up the show tonight. Hey, if you are in love college basketball like I do too, take Purdue over UNC, the Purdue over as they play UNC. The line's going to probably be about 160 points. I think that hits about 180. So, play it. Thank me later. Smith, you got anything to finish this up with?
Yeah, man, so it's almost a repetitive thing at this point. We say the same thing every week, like, we appreciate you guys listening to us. We're still getting some feedback, and whether it's positive or negative, we use that to make the show better, and we appreciate that. I appreciate you guys being here. You know, it's hard for all of us to get together sometimes to actually be able to do the show, but we're doing a good job of getting this thing done, man. And like I say, it's not for us; it's for you guys. So, if you have anything for us, let us know. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. You know, everything that we do is out there. And we appreciate you. We love you. And until next week,
peace out, fellas.